to me, you need your best lineup caller. So if I was picking a team, I would 100% have Ian Henderson. I think he's the best lineup caller there.
For the best Lions coverage this summer, subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast stream on the OTB Sports app.
GAA on Off the Ball.
They are currently playing 4 minutes of injury time at Croke Park at the end of the Leinster Senior Football Final, and a run of scores from Concoslo has put Dublin into a very strong position. They now lead by 19 points to Kildare's 1-8. Time is just ticking away at Croke Park, with Dublin set to be crowned champions for the 11th year in a row in the province, and they continue to be the 6-time All-Ireland champions in a row too. But we will chat to Paddy Andrews in a few minutes' time and consider whether this performance will be enough to overcome Mayo in 13 days' time, when those sides are set to meet in the All-Ireland semi-finals. As we were chatting about it on the pay-per-view a little bit earlier on in the show, Joe Canning has retired at 32 years of age after 14 years with the Galway inter-county team. He retires as the top scorer in championship history. And also this week, on Friday, it was announced that Davy Fitzgerald will not be seeking another term as the Wexford senior hurling manager after 5 years in charge. He claimed yesterday afternoon that he was offered a one-year extension by the Wexford County Board, but he has opted not to continue on for his sixth season. Davy Fitzgerald led Wexford to Leinster hurling title glory in 2019. Now, to reflect on both of those stories, former Kilkenny forward Taggy Fogarty has been speaking to our reporter, Dahi Boland.
It's been an eventful week off the pitch in hurling. We've had the retirement from the inter-county scene of Joe Canning, and also Davy Fitzgerald, his time in Wexford has ended. Taggy Fogarty, I just want to touch on Joe Canning first. This guy, I remember back July 19, 2008, I was sitting in the grandmother's house in Sligo watching this phenomenon give one of the greatest performances of all time against one of the greatest Cork teams of all time, scoring 212 that day. And I remember Joe saying probably the worst thing he did in his career was score 212 that day. But look, a fantastic player, and I don't think there's, you know, you can say anything that properly describes, because literally he was just so, like, he was just different level.
For sure, an absolute icon. I remember the very game that you're talking about, 212 from a youngster, I think he was 18 years of age. I think he was marking Dermot DeRock O'Sullivan, which is a no mean feat. But Joe has been talked through the GAA world. You know, when you're in the club scene and stuff, you always talk about who's coming up through the ranks, Richie Hogan maybe for us or whatever the case may be. Joe Canning was earmarked at 15 years of age. He was doing phenomenal things with his club, Portumna. And then he came on the scene with Galway, and he just couldn't associate. So it's Galway, you're playing Galway and you're playing Joe Canning. And when you're known as Joe around the GAA circle, you know you've met it. When you're known as one name, you know you've met it. And I've seen flick hand pass from Austin Gleeson there today. That's a Joe Canning speciality. I think that came from his technique, his ability to, I think, have the pressure on his shoulders for all those years. Because he knew himself that if he didn't perform with Galway, more likely is Galway would have lost. And he had the pressure of the scrutiny of the media being on him at a very young age, and having to perform. And that is very hard, day in, day out, to do that. And Joe has done it for 10 to 12 years. Phenomenal displays, massive scores against Kilkenny. I remember he caught a ball over Joey Holden, one touch into the hand, bang, back in the net. Just sideline cuts over the bar, LIT. You hear all the stories during the week now with managers, and they're coming out with little comments about he did this and he did that. But a phenomenal leader and very humble. And that's what I like about the guy. That's what I like about sports people. When they go to the elite level, you know, the Henry Shefflins, the DJ Careys and these lads. But Joe was very humble, and he struck me as a fella that probably didn't like the limelight that much. Liked to kind of avoid it and do his talking on the field, and I admire him for that. And pity he's gone, but look, it's his decision. I felt maybe another year or two in him, but a phenomenal man, phenomenal hurler, done great things, and I'm delighted, absolutely delighted he got his Ireland medal in 2017. And if you remember back, that he scored that point against Tipperary in the semi-final, where there was three guys coming onto him on the sideline and he stuck it right over the bar. And in 2012 he drew up the game against Kilkenny. I was playing the same day myself, a free out on the sideline as well. These are the massive moments that Joe has done, and I couldn't talk about the man highly enough.
Yeah, So many highlights. As you mentioned there, that 2015 Leinster final, the turn there, I think if that was on Strictly, he would have got tens all around for that, you know. But yeah, so many highlights. Is there any specific one that does stand out for you though?
Yeah, as I kind of mentioned there, well, unfortunately, the 2012 John final, yeah, he sticking that ball over the bar, because I remember just waving the hurl at him and I was like, this man's not going to miss, and sure enough, he didn't. But definitely the one against Tipperary in the semi-final to get him into the All-Ireland in 2017, and when I went on to win it. I just remember being at that match and the stadium was shaking, and there was just a nervous energy. The ball was fed down the line. I don't know who it was, the Galway player turned back and there's only one man to give it to Joe. And I just remember the three Tipperary defenders tearing down to get the block in, and he had only minimal time to make the swipe, and he put it straight over the bar with legs on it, you know, it was going over the net, and the whole stadium just shook that day. And as a Galway supporter, I can only imagine that more brilliant. But definitely one of the standout moments for me was that day when that point against Tip.
And obviously the other big news to come out this week, Davy Fitzgerald, his time at Wexford has ended. For you, how do you feel he did overall? How do you feel his tenure was at Wexford?
Yeah, look, I think Davy went in at a time when Wexford hurling was at a very low ebb, and I feel they did needed a lot of life and a big injection of energy, and I think that's what Davy Fitz bought into it. I've heard rumours that before Wexford, the setup wasn't professional, that maybe, you know, they lacked maybe physiotherapists and things like that. And Davy went in, and I think the young fellas really saw the change in preparation, really saw the change in what an inter-county team is supposed to be all about. He brought an energy, he brought an excitement to the county. And look, I think with Davy, there's always something with him. Now, whether you like that or not, I don't know. There's always a bit of controversy with him. There's always something behind the scenes going on, which I don't like. Personally, I think it just should be about the team, but he brings that aura about them, and I think at the time that's what Wexford needed. They won a Leinster final, which probably before he started would have been the pinnacle, probably lost out to another Leinster final closely to Kilkenny. So look, his tenure is that he brought Wexford from a low ebb, brought him to a good place, won a Leinster title with them. But the thing is, where has he left Wexford, I suppose, and where does he leave these teams that he goes to? You know, he went to Waterford in 2008, got to an All-Ireland final, I think he won a league with them. Clare, went to Clare, his tenure there, won an All-Ireland with Clare. But then these teams after he left seemed to kind of disappear for a while. So I don't know whether it's just management coming in trying to get a stronghold on him, or that training level that Davy has for them 3 or 4 years runs him ragged, and then, you know, it's kind of Jose Mourinho kind of style that they can't get back on their feet. So look, he was successful with Wexford, you have to say it. What's next for Davy, it's hard to know. As I said, he does bring a bit of controversy with him, there's always something with him, so it's interesting to see. And he's in the game a long time now, he went straight out of playing straight into management, so whether he wants to break himself, it's hard to know, but there's no real availability in any teams so far anyway.
Dublin about to lift the Delaney Cup for a 60th time at Croke Park. They are Leinster senior football champions for the 11th successive year, and it's now 16 titles in 17 seasons. Paddy Andrews, the former Dublin forward, has been watching the game for us at Croke Park. And Paddy, in the end, Dublin win by 20 points to 1-9. Would you consider it just a case of doing enough against Kildare today?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Look, Kildare's game plan was pretty evident from the first whistle. They were going to get lots of bodies behind the ball and try and frustrate Dublin. And to be fair, particularly over the first half, I thought they did that quite well, but there was always going to be an issue of them trying to get scores themselves. Like they got 1-9, like the game was pretty much meandering through until the 62nd minute, and Daniel Flynn dispossessed James McCarthy on the far side underneath the Cusack stand and scored an absolute sensational goal. It was really probably the only highlight of the entire game. That gave Kildare a little bit of a lifeline, but Dublin did what they did best for the next 10-12 minutes. They just kept the ball and ran Kildare into the ground. And look, for Jack O'Connor, it's not the worst performance that they've come up, but Dublin just in cruise control, exactly like you've said, kind of third gear the whole way through again, and for a pretty comfortable win to get them ready for Mayo in 2 weeks' time.
The Daniel Flynn goal, we're not going to see too many better goals scored this summer, because the dispossession, the run, and then a stunning finish across goal as well.
Oh, a spectacular goal, and like I say, it was a pretty tactical game. It was quite dour at times, like, but that was the moment of magic. And look, to be honest, he just didn't get enough ball. We touched on it beforehand. If Kildare would have any chance, they needed himself and Neil Flynn to have brilliant games. he tried his best, but Davy Byrne kind of got the grips on him mainly, particularly in the second half. But that goal was, it was spectacular. Dispossession on James McCarthy, went around the outside of Johnny Cooper, and then from about 20 yards out, shot across Evan Comfort into the far corner. It was a brilliant, brilliant goal, and probably really the only highlight for Kildare over the course of the whole day.
It looked like Dublin were going to get a goal late in the game, which would have been the seal on the performance. Colin Baskell goes around the goalkeeper and finishes to the net, but ultimately it was decided he'd taken too many steps.
Yeah, and I suppose if you were Desi and you're looking at it, what are areas for improvement? That was the only goal chance Dublin had in the entire match. So, look, it was quite ponderous at times, but I suppose that's Kildare's tactics were to get bodies back, and the match was really played at a pedestrian pace that the whole way. It wasn't the greatest spectacle, but Dublin won't be worried about that they didn't really threaten Mark Donlan at all outside of that. Con O'Callaghan and Brian Fenton probably had two of their quietest games I can remember in a long time for Dublin, and they're obviously going to be to the fore if Dublin are going to get back and win the All-Ireland this year. So look, other positives for them, I'd say Cormac Costello scored 4 points from play, had an excellent game. Kieran Kilkenny in the second half in particular, he scored 4 points in total. Brilliant leadership from him. Dean Rock got on the score sheet with 5 points before he came off after about 50 minutes. He's still easing his way back to full fitness. But Dublin, exactly what you've said, it was just an efficient, workmanlike performance. Kildare never really threatened it. It was really just a containment job from Jack O'Connor. And ultimately, look, it's a game that won't live too long in the memory. Dublin will face a much sterner test with the athleticism and the power on the running game of Mayo in 2 weeks' time, which will be far more interesting than what we've seen today.
Yeah, the winning totals are lower than they've been in Leinster for the last few years for Dublin. 8 points, 6 points, 8 points this year in terms of the matches that they've played. Is there any concern in your mind that Dublin aren't getting to that next gear and that they're still playing in third gear?
Well, look, they're going to have to up it in 2 weeks' time. Like I've said, look, the Leinster Championship over the last decade, it's been a pretty similar story to what we've seen today. Dublin were just really, really comfortable throughout the entire game. They were never really in danger of losing, even despite Daniel Flynn's goal. You thought Kildare might get a kick. It never came. Look, their substitutes they brought in today, Sean Bugler, Owen Merchant came on, he replaced John Small midway through the second half. Colin Baskell, Sean Bugler, Ryan Baskell. That wasn't a huge impact from the bench, and again, that's probably made the game was quite slow as it was, but Dublin will definitely need impact coming from the bench in 2 weeks' time against Mayo. You've seen the impact the Mayo substitutes had in their Connacht final win. Dublin are going to need a little bit more, I feel, from impact from the guys that they're bringing in.
You know the discussion is going to be over the next while, though, that Dublin go out last year, they beat Meath in the final by 21 points. They won very comfortably the year before by 18 points. They were able to put 18 points up on Laois in the final in 2018. Generally, Dublin have been scoring goals, creating loads of chances. 20 scores is very low compared to what Dublin have been doing in recent finals, Paddy.
Yeah, and it was just a really, really controlled performance. And I think Dublin have evolved over the last number of years, particularly if you look around 15, 16, 17. It was swashbuckling stuff under Jim Gavin, all out attack. Dublin have become far better at just controlling games and basically doing what they need to do. And look, Kildare got the goal to bring it back to 6 points in 62 minutes. Dublin keep the ball for the next 5 minutes, you know, and they're just wearing Kildare down. They didn't have to really get out of third gear. But look, definitely I think that the lack of a goal today, and they didn't really look like scoring a goal at all throughout the course of the game, that's definitely something Desi Farrell is going to be looking at for the Mayo game. But you're right, it's hard to get a real gauge on it because it was pretty much cruise control right from the first whistle today, really.
Well, I just wonder if they end up in a swashbuckling type performance like the semi-final a couple of years ago against Mayo, where they had to turn it on second half in that game and come back from a deficit win. Different stages in the drawn game against Kerry in the All-Ireland final in 2019, where they were up against it and had to produce scintillating football for a period of time. We've not seen any evidence that Dublin are actually going to turn it on like that this year.
No, and you're right. And it looks like that's the question mark. Similar to what I suppose we're talking about, Kerry not getting a test down in Munster. For Dublin, like bar maybe 20 minutes down in Thurles in the National League against Kerry, where they really blitzed them, and Con O'Callaghan got a goal, and Paddy Small and Cormac Costello. You haven't really seen Dublin be overly tested throughout the whole National League, and the same in the three games in the Leinster Championship to date. They've just kept their noses ahead. Kildare were at arm's length for the entire match, very similar to what they did to me the last day out in Wexford in the first round of the Championship. Look, we'll only get a true sense, like you say, in two weeks' time against Mayo. And look, I don't think it's any secret, the four best teams in the country are in the All-Ireland semi-finals. And we're hoping for a big raise in standards from what we've seen so far over the provincial championships.
Yeah, they're two tasty semi-finals. Like, looking at Mayo and Dublin on Saturday week back at Croke Park again, we've talked about it all summer. Mayo are going to miss Killian O'Connor, aren't they? I mean, this is the type of game where Killian O'Connor's absence will probably be most keenly felt.
Yeah, well, look, we always said that it was a huge blow for Mayo, and to be fair to them, in the first half against Galway last week, you definitely got the sense that they were lacking his leadership. They were kind of running out of ideas up front, and that's what made the second half performance of them so impressive. Aidan O'Shea went inside to the full forward line and caused havoc. He frees up space then for Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue and these guys. But look, if Mayo are going to win the All-Ireland, you would have to think that they would have needed Killian O'Connor there. I think he will be a big miss against this Dublin team. He's always had a big performances against Dublin. He scored 9 points in last year's All-Ireland final between frees and from play. So look, he will be a big miss, and ultimately that could be the difference against Dublin in 2 weeks' time, because look, they're going to need to rack up scores to get over this Dublin team. So
yeah, you're taken away from the fog last year against Tipperary in that semi-final, 4-9 for Killian O'Connor in terms of getting Mayo into a final. Any team is going to miss that. Aidan O'Shea next week, he's played in a variety of different roles against Dublin over the years, has come up short in these big games and semi-finals and All-Ireland finals. You're James Horn, Paddy. Where do you deploy him next week?
I think that's the challenge. That's the challenge for him. That like, you'd love to have two Aidan O'Shea's and have him around the middle of the field with Matthew Horan, who's having an excellent season. I think you'll see in both positions. He'll definitely spend some time in around the edge of the square, like similar to what Daniel Flynn was doing today and how Kildare were trying to use him. I thought the Dublin full back line dealt with that quite well today. Davy Byrne had an excellent game on Daniel Flynn, despite Daniel Flynn getting that goal later in the day. I think Aidan O'Shea will be in around the middle of the field, but definitely there'll be stages in this game in 2 weeks' time where they're going to put him in on the edge of the square and try and get balls in quickly to him to cause havoc there.
On the football pad, Andy Moran's been getting the feeling that Mayo are going through a little cycle, but James Horn has been able to introduce these new players into the team. Where do you rank Mayo now compared to, you know, previous years, where over the last five or six they were close to Dublin in All-Ireland semis and finals?
I think they've gone under the radar to extent that they have a huge turnover in their panel with real leaders, seven or eight guys gone, and James Horn still keeps them. They were back in the All-Ireland final last year. Nobody expected that. They're back Connacht champions again. People were expecting a kick from Pádraig Joyce and Galway, and Mayo, to be fair, that second half performance, it's huge credit. Mayo come to Croke Park and they always show up, particularly against Dublin. They will have no fear, and that's what James Horn brings to that team. And they still have the nucleus of Dermot O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea, Paddy Dirk, and Lee Keegan still there as well. They're still leading the charge, but they've supplemented with these new younger players like Matty Ruan, Pádraig O'Hara, Oisin Mullen. Real energy and speed. And look, to beat Dublin and to come and win in Croke Park, you need to have energy, you need to have athleticism, and that's what Mayo have in abundance. James Horn will have these guys ready for this game. Like I say, they're not going to fear Dublin. They never have, despite obviously their poor record against them over the last number of years.
And look, I don't mean this in any kind of patronising way towards Mayo whatsoever, but probably no harm that the Connacht final was played in Croke Park a couple of weeks ago, and that they got a win and lifted a trophy in Croke Park ahead of coming back to play Dublin there in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and like I say, that's part of the development for a lot of those younger guys, like Ryan O'Donoghue, like Oisin Mullen, like Tommy Conroy. These guys, the more exposure they get to Croke Park, look, they ran out of steam in last year's All-Ireland final against Dublin. They put up, like I say, a pretty good performance for the first 45, 50 minutes, but then just that experience, the energy, the know-how that Dublin had, like very similar today against Clare, they just controlled the last 20 minutes of the All-Ireland final, and Mayo didn't have the answers. They'll take a lot of lessons and a lot of learning from that. But definitely coming up to Croke Park and getting a big win against their rivals, look, it can only be a good thing for Mayo. And look, it's going to be a really, really interesting game. And like we're talking about Dublin probably not really getting out of third gear so far this season. I think they're going to need to do that. They're going to need to up the intensity in 2 weeks' time.
You said pre-game you reckon Kerry are the second favourites for the title at this stage to lift the Sam Maguire. What have Kerry done to change last year, where like they played very disappointing, I thought, against Cork, and they sat on their lead and got caught in a Munster semi-final? This year they're the most free-scoring team around in the championship. What have they actually changed to be able to create and take as many chances as they have this year?
I think their forward play, it's been really, really impressive so far this year, right from the first game of the National League where they blitzed Galway down in Tralee. Last year, it just seemed to be they were overly reliant on David Clifford. And look, when you have a guy as talented as he is, you can nearly get complacent and just say, look, if we let the ball into Clifford, he'll do the rest. Whereas now, there's a far more cohesive unit. You see Paddy Clifford, Darragh Moynihan, these guys have a huge influence there in terms of linking the play. Paul Geaney, these guys... There's definitely a far better, far more cohesive unit up front, and it's not just about picking the six best guys that can score. That's where like, someone like Paddy Clifford is getting well-deserved credit for the unseen work that he does. Lots of linking the play, lots of assists for his brother David, and obviously Sean O'Shea as well. So that's the most noticeable thing for me, that just far, far slicker as a unit up front and not just relying on individual brilliance, which was probably an issue for them last season.
Yeah, because last weekend they were able to win with David Clifford largely marked out of the game, which is very unusual. But when Dublin have to look at the threats next time round, like Paddy Clifford is having a hell of a streak through this championship summer, surely at some point it's going to create some space for David Clifford to open up against somebody.
And that's the important thing. That's the whole point of a forward unit, that it's not just six guys all trying to get their own scores or playing for themselves. Kerry, definitely you can see the balance in their attacking play. And look, Kerry, like their forwards are never really going to be the issue. You can see that this season, that they're racking up huge scores. The big question marks, and Tyrone are going to ask these questions in 2 weeks' time, is can the Kerry full back line, can they deal with the very, very best opponents? Like you've seen last week, Jason Foley, who was having a great season up to that point, really struggled with Brian Hurley in the first 25-30 minutes of that game. So they're the question marks that Kerry are going to be asked. And like say, similar to Dublin, you probably haven't seen them in top gear yet, but they're definitely going to have their hands full with Matty Donnelly, Darren McCurry, Carl McShane and these guys. So look, the two semi-finals, they're fascinating games, and I think it's fair that the four best teams in the country are there. And everyone's going to be looking forward to it.
Plenty for you, Andy and Tommy, to break down on the pod this week and next week as you lead into the games. But as we finish our chat from Croke Park today, Paddy, at this stage, is it overly simple to expect that Dublin and Kerry are just going to progress in 2 weeks?
Look, I'd have them both as favourites, but look, I think they're going to be smashing games. I was really, really impressed with what Mayo did in the second half against Galway last week. That was a real statement from them. And Tyrone, to be fair, they have momentum with them now. They've been really impressive coming through the Ulster Championship. Look, I think they're going to be great games, but if I had to tip either one of them, I would expect Dublin and Kerry to get through both of them.
Well, look, Paddy, thanks a million for joining us from Croke Park. Don't forget that you can get the football pod with Paddy and Andrew now a day earlier than before if you've got the OTB Sports app. It's going to be out every Tuesday on the OTB Sports app, and then it's available to pick up wherever you get your podcast from on Wednesday as normal. Thanks for listening to the show today. Don't forget that Off the Ball will be back tomorrow evening from 7 p.m. Olympic boxing analysis from middleweight Jason Quigley. He'll be looking forward to Kelly Harrington's fight on Tuesday. We'll also be catching up on all of the athletics action with Cliona Foley, as well as looking at Irish diver Oliver Dingley, who will be in action in the 3 metre springboard prelims, which you can catch at the slightly more reasonable time tomorrow of 7 a.m. No need for a 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. start. That's all to come on tonight's Off the Ball right here on News Talk. My thanks to Jojo Cardoza and also to Peter Malloy, who've been on sound, to Catherine Murphy, who was producing in the background. Stay tuned for Jess Kelly, who's up next here on News Talk.
GAA on Off the Ball. We'll be right back.